desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. It is currently a beautiful day, and we are happy to be here. Today, we're going to take you back to the beginning and tell you a little bit about how it all began in terms of my father's vineyard and the WINGS program. We're also going to cover some highlights about marriage and also abuse of women in the United States, which is a very, very important topic to cover. We'll be touching about that. And right now, we're going to just take a moment to thank our listeners for listening to Holy Spirit Radio. I want to thank you for supporting our radiothon that we completed just a short time ago. And we also want to thank our donors who have been supportive of the show Finding God in Prison and also the WINGS program, which is now in its 18th year. And honestly, it has been a privilege and a pleasure to be with you here at Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM and WCOJ 1420 AM. And again, as we get started today, I just want to let you know that this week we had a little bit of bad news. One of our wingsmen lost his mom, Jeff Collins. And so we want to dedicate our show to Jeff and to his family because of the, you know, the wonderful participation he has given us in the WINGS program over the last 5 years as a guest in the show Finding God in Prison, also coming into several recovery homes and 5 high schools. Jeff did a great job for us on each front. And so, you know, we all know, you know, the loss of a mother is one of the great losses that we can all experience. And for Jeff, it just occurred this past weekend. So we want to just take a moment to pray for Jeff and pray for the peace of God to be with him and his family and to carry him through these difficult times. We know that losing a mom is one of the great losses, as I said earlier. Just ask the Lord to comfort him. And the Lord says, you know, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And so we pray that Jeff will be surrounded by good people who will care for him and provide him with comfort. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, my friends, again, this is Finding God in Prison, and the focus of our show has always been to highlight some of the men who get discharged from prison and who are doing well. The stories have been really interesting, and they have been absolutely, honestly given from the heart from many of our men and women. And in working with prisoners or inmates in prison, we find many challenges. And currently, we're working over at CFCF over on State Road, and we have a graduation coming up on Monday. We have 15 to 20 guys who'll be graduating who have put the time in to earn the privilege of graduating. And we have some interesting guys in our class who are really, you know, making changes. Some of them are, you know, very aware of the fact that they need to make change, becoming more disciplined or more patient, or some of them are really focused on improving the quality of life for their children, which is something so important for all of us. And the stronger you are, the more you can do to improve the quality of life for your kids. It's one of the great messages in the WINGS program that we can, you know, work on ourselves and that we could improve the quality of life for our kids, our grandkids, and also for the community out there. And so this is an important message. So we have a great graduation coming up we're looking forward to that taking place on Monday between 3:30 and 5:30. And so please pray for us that all goes well. And also the Wings program, as I said earlier, under the nonprofit organization, My Father's Vineyard, is in its 18th year of service. And we've been now 8 years in the Philadelphia prison system. The Wings program began in 1993 in going to elementary schools, and actually Olney Elementary School, and also Our Lady of Calvary in Northeast Philadelphia. And to date, we've been to more than 100 schools and 8 prisons. We've been to many recovery homes. And without question, you know, we have challenges, as we all do in each and every type of work that we do. But the Lord carries us through. 25 years of service we have given to the inmate reentry and the educational work we've done in schools, recovery homes as well. 25 years is a long time, my friends. And I just want to take a moment to thank God for the opportunity to be part of a ministry and apostolate that has sustained itself with the help of wonderful people on the outside. And this is incredible. As we're here now in the year 2018, I'll tell you the truth, when we began the Wings program, one of the challenges we had were kids who had depression, eighth graders who were suicidal, had a lack of self-esteem, bulimia, anorexia, and one of the things we had to give them was vision into the future. And we used to say, you know, where will you be in the year 2020? Well, my friends, we're only 2 years away from the year 2020. And, you know, we have touched tens of thousands of students as well as inmates in prison and people who are recovering from addiction to substance abuse or alcoholism. And so that question is out there. As we enter the year 2019 in just a couple of months, 20 years from now, it'll be the year 2039. And that is incredible. And so, you know, as we complete the first 25 years, we look forward to the second 25 and making an impact on other people. And, you know, Jeff Collins, as I said, along with Jacoby McFadden and some of the other wonderful guys who have stepped up to the plate and been a frontline speaker here at Holy Spirit Radio, have done a great job. One of the challenges we have is, unfortunately, not everyone will make it. We know that we have lost at least 8 people in the last 7 years, and due to overdose of heroin and some other, you know, things. We've had incredible good fortune, in getting through the last 8 years with over 1,300 classes and only one event taking place in a classroom inside a maximum security facility. Only one stabbing took place. So God has really looked after me and looked after our men in helping us to get through many years of service, many classes, and over 65 graduating classes. So, you know, it's all good, and we just appreciate the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to be a tool which the Lord can use to impact the hearts and minds of our men who are there in our classrooms trying to, you know, start the process of rebuilding their lives, as the Wings program is a life-building program. And, you know, we have men of all different, you know, backgrounds and men who have done all kinds of things. One of the things we want to focus on today is the domestic violence that does take place, which we know is a very, very serious situation if you've ever been present for any of that. And I want to give you some statistical information right now about domestic violence. And, you know, historically, 1 in 3 women who are pregnant will actually go to the hospital because they are abused while they are pregnant. And we have a tremendous piece of information coming right to you right now. The term intimate partner violence is now a new expression, includes the following acts as inflicted or caused by a current or former intimate partner. Number one, actual or threats of physical violence. Number two, actual or threats of sexual violence. The definition of domestic violence involves violence or abuse by one person against another in a familial or intimate relationship. Domestic violence is most commonly thought of as an intimate partner violence, but can also include violence or abuse from a family member. Things like stalking, financial abuse, threats to outing a person's sexual orientation to family. Intimate partners can include current or former spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, dating partners, sexual partners. Domestic violence can occur in a heterosexual and same-sex relationship. On the national side, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will experience severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. Again, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will experience severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. 1 in 10 women in the United States will be raped by an intimate partner in their lifetime. An estimated 9.7% of women and 2.3% of men have been stalked by an intimate partner during their lifetime. Nearly half of all women and men in the United States will experience psychological aggression by an intimate partner in their lifetime. Over half of female and male victims of rape, physical violence, and/or stalking by an intimate partner experienced some form of intimate partner violence for the first time before 25 years of age. When we talk about domestic violence experienced by race or ethnicity, almost half, or 47.5% of American Indians and Alaskan Native women, or 45.1% of non-Hispanic Black women, and 37.3% of non-Hispanic white women, as well as 34.4% of Hispanic women, and 18.3% of Asian Pacific Islander women experienced contact sexual violence, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime. When we highlight domestic violence and sexual orientation, 2 in 5 lesbian women, 3 in 5 bisexual women, and 1 in 3 heterosexual women will experience rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime. To the north in New York City, when we highlight domestic violence, intimate partner homicide accounts for over half of all New York City family-related homicides. The New York City Police Department responds to approximately 230,000 domestic incidents each and every year. And these are some really important numbers that we're highlighting for you because, you know, this is a tough subject. But in dealing with men who have committed these crimes, our job is to change the way they think, to help them to become more compassionate, more understanding, more peaceful. If they're angry, we want to make them peaceful. We help them to make that transition, that paradigm shift, into becoming, you know, the kind of guy that we all want to be, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to bring more generosity, more compassion, more understanding, more patience. We want to become better listeners. We want to get rid of the jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. These things don't bring unity. They build division. And very often we see, you know, men in our program who have done some incredible things and harmed their children or their wives, their parents. And so our job is to change all that. When people have lost everything, that's when they enter the WINGS program. And our job is to meet them where they're at and to build them up once again. And one of the things we use to do that is the Lord's Word. So So I want to just quote from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, right now. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. In any case, each one of you should love his wife as himself, and the wife should respect her husband. A very great message from St. Paul in the book of Ephesians. And I think, you know, this is a very, exact message that we need to take a look at ourselves objectively, because I know for myself, there's always room for improvement. And we want to, you know, one of the things in the Wings program we want to do is get men on board with what God says to do, with what his word is telling us to do. You know, first, you know, God says to a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. And at that point, St. Paul tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And this is important. And this is in the day-to-day of living, the day-to-day of life, that we need to do this. This is not something abstract. We're not sure how to do it. God said the second greatest commandment is to love one another. And Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. So, you know, we need to listen to Mother Teresa and put that love into the hearts and minds of other people, and listen to St. Paul. Husbands, love your wives as you love your own body. And that requires humility. It requires time, quality time in the 168, which is the total amount of time available. And, you know, the goal in the Wings program is to build a really good life. And that's not just finding a job and making money and buying a home. Family is a big part of that. Family takes a long time to create. It's not something you could buy overnight or at a dealership or in a restaurant. We need to work at it. And we need to build strong relationships based on honesty, sincerity, respect, reliability, accountability, dependability, and all of that goes into the word trust. In the Wings program, my friends, we trust one man at a time, one conversation at a time. And there's no compromise on that. Those six items have to be part of the relationship. We don't want to compromise and be with someone who's dishonest or accept it. This is all part of the abuse we were talking about, the domestic violence, where people are lying to one another. You have verbal abuse, and this is a very important part of abuse. It starts out with verbal. You have mental, emotional, you have financial, you have sexual, you have ultimately physical abuse. And we know that many people are actually killed. 4,000 women a year are actually killed in these relationships. Over 30,000 reported cases each and every year, and those are the ones reported. So we need to do better as individual men and women. A lot of people carry on provocative conversations, learning how to push people's buttons. If we follow the Lord's mentality, we're looking to love one another. And that has, you know, that has nothing to do with pushing people's buttons. We want to really show a lot of humility and honest up, man up with our spouses. This is a very important message. And as we, you know, tie in other aspects of God's word, talking about verbal abuse, we have to go into James chapter 3, where the Lord talks about the power of the tongue. And he says here, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you realize that we will be judged more strictly, and we all fall short in many respects. If anyone does not fall short in speech, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body also. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also guide their whole bodies. It is the same with ships. Even though they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot's inclination wishes. In the same way, the tongue is a small member and yet has great pretensions. Consider how small a fire can set a huge forest ablaze. The tongue is also a fire. The tongue itself exists among our members as a world of malice, defiling the whole body and setting the entire course of our lives on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by Gehenna. For every kind of beast and bird or of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by human species. But no human being can tame the tongue. The tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we bless the Lord and Father. And with the tongue, we curse human beings who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and curses. This is an incredible word that we get from James chapter 3, my friends. And, you know, God is telling us to take a look at how we speak to our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents. Take a good look at how we use the tongue. And I'll be first on the list to say I have made mistakes. And this is where the tongue can, you know, really touch the heart of a person with an apology, forgiveness, please or thank you. So many beautiful letters that can come from the heart going out to other people, or phone conversations to, again, lift up the hearts and the minds of people who are lowly. And so that's the other side to the tongue, and that's the side we need to get to. We have to remove some of the things from our phraseology and terminology. In prison, we talk about it often because, honestly, guys are using the four-letter words very often as an adjective. They are using other words to describe women, and we have to change all that. If you're going to build a strong relationship and do what St. Paul says, which is to love your wife as you love your own body, we have to change that phraseology, that terminology. We have to gain more patience. We have to become better listeners and acknowledge the women in our lives. Very, very important. And I know this takes work because marriage and relationships, you know, with children or parents, everything is really a blessing, but it can be a burden at times. This is a time when we really want to look at ourselves and come up big time with the right words, the right terminology, phraseology, and to not hurt the heart, not wound the heart of my wife, but I want to nourish it. I want to protect it from that. And this requires growth and development as a husband, as a man, as a father, as a friend. We have to grow in faith. And with the Lord's word leading us, guiding us as that lighthouse, you know, all the time, we will get there, but we have room for improvement. And so this is one of the great messages of our show today. And as we go through our show, I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Finding God in Prison on Holy Spirit Radio. This is WISP 1570 AM and WCOJ 1420 AM. I want to just take a moment to acknowledge that because without the 19 years of radio status that WISP Holy Spirit Radio has had, we would not be here. So we want to just take a moment to thank Dale and Jane and Frank, who produces our show today, and for all of the many people like Dave Parker and the other individuals who give their time, their talents to making these things happen. I want to acknowledge to our listeners that it is with your support that we remain on the radio for 19 years. And this is a powerful thing. And again, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host. And as I just reflect back, my friends, on the beginning of the Wings program, you know, it was through Holy Spirit Radio that we actually began our prison ministry on death row at Greater for Prison. That was and is still a blessing because it propelled us to go into 7 other facilities and also to continue our work with our men and women in prison of all ages, by the way, from age 18 up to 65. And so it has been a real blessing. And as we just go through the show, my friends, I want to just remind you that the topics that we discuss here are very sensitive. They can be abrasive, but they need to be talked about. Through education, we can change people. And that's what the Wings program is all about. We all need to make some changes. And in prison, we have an abundance of men who have actually been part of violent situations, from domestic violence to assaults and assault with a deadly weapon. Our job is to change all that. There are a lot of men in prison who are there because they were carrying a gun without a license. And so, you know, our job is to change that as well. And it takes some work, and that's why we do what we do. So in just about 30 seconds, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come right back. But I want to thank you for listening to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. We'll be right back, and God bless you.
The Diocese of Allentown, Pennsylvania presents Clarity and Charity, an authentically Catholic response to same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria. Join them Wednesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. in the University Center of DeSales University. Father Philip Pekanski, the Executive Director of Courage International, will speak about the experience of same-sex attraction, as understood in light of the teachings of the Catholic Church. All are invited to come to this presentation. Whether this is part of your lived experience or you are simply interested in learning more about the topic, again, that is the Diocese of Allentown, Clarity and Charity, an authentically Catholic response to same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria, November 7th, 7 p.m. To register for free, visit allentowndiocese.org/AFF or call 610-289-8900, extension 2021. A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for over 26 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at hollyhillvitamins.com.
A quote from St. Francis de Sales: our greatest fault is that we wish to serve God in our way, not in His way, according to our will, not according to His will. When He wishes us to be sick, we wish to be well. When He desires us to serve Him by sufferings, we desire to serve Him by works. When He wishes us to exercise charity, we wish to exercise humility. When He seeks from us resignation, we wish for devotion, a spirit of prayer, or some other virtue. And this is not because the things we desire may be more pleasing to Him, but because they are more to our taste. This is certainly the greatest obstacle we can raise to our own perfection, for it is beyond doubt that if we wish to be saints according to our own will, we shall never be so at all. To be truly a saint, it is necessary to be one according to the will of God.
Forever, God is faithful. Forever, God is true love.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe Montone, your host. You're listening to Finding God in Prison at Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM and WCOJ 1420 AM. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you. And in our second half of the show, we want to talk a little bit more about family life, but from a different angle. Going to provide with you some quotes about marriage. We've been told for decades now that half of all marriages end in divorce and that it's only getting worse. But as it is the case with most facts, they get repeated and repeated and repeated, and it's not quite true. And it turns out that divorce rates are actually falling, not rising. Researchers have found that the rate of divorce in the United States actually peaked at about 40% around the year 1980 and has been declining ever since. And according to the data from the National Survey of Family Growth, the probability of a first marriage lasting at least a decade was 68% for women and 70% for men between the year 2006 and 2010. The probability that they would make it 20 years was 52% for women and 56% for men. So the percentage is closer to the frequently cited half, but still not there. Other estimates show that 3/4 of those married in the 1990s would make it at least 15 years, compared with just 65% of those married in the 1980s. And if that current trend continues, the vast majority, about 2/3 of marriages, will never divorce. So how did we even get that half and half stat to begin with? Well, we can trace that original claim that the divorce rate is at 50% and climbing back to the 1980 census report. And as we look at that, my friends, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to be divorced. There are worse things. You know, I've worked on death row with men convicted of 4 homicides, and we have all kinds of things. It is possible that young people can get married to the wrong person, and that's why we want to take our time. We really want to educate our kids as well as we can to take their time. Think about who it is they're getting involved with as friends, as closer friends, especially when intimacy arrives. We really want to, you know, preach the chastity message, the abstinence message, and to help our kids to build a strong family life. In the WINGS program, that's 1/6 of the big picture. We're really striving to get a life that incorporates a peaceful and a joyful family life. And that takes time. And it takes work, it takes discipline and generosity, unselfishness, and there are many, many examples of that. We see, you know, today that life is challenging so many ways today, but to succeed in family life, it really does take discipline. It takes work. Marriage can be a blessing, but also can be a burden at times. But nevertheless, it is God's calling. God says a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. And our goal is to, you know, sustain that marriage. With God's help, you know, we can do it. It's not easy to do, but it has been done. We've had many good friends with us throughout the years in the WINGS program. I want to highlight a couple of people from San Ignatius who were married over 60 years up in Yardley. And amazing examples. And, you know, when asked, how did you stay married for 63 years? This young lady, as I like to refer to her, said, it's easy. I made him think that he was the boss. And so, you know, as you go through the years, it's not an easy thing to remain married. But I want you to think about what it is that you do to succeed in married life. And if you can, send us a letter to the station and give us some examples of what you do to improve your marriage on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and reflect back on that annually and see what some of these successes really are in here in Bucks County and Philadelphia County, Montgomery County, Delaware County, Mercer County. I want you to send us a letter, if you can. Give us a call sometime and let us know what it is that you're doing for your husband or wife in the day-to-day of life. Why is your marriage working for 20 years, 30 years, 60 years? What did you do differently that some people, you know, weren't able to do? How did you arrive, you know, at that success level? And we want to feed that information out because married life is really one of the great goals in the WINGS program. And although people, you know, always ask me, you know, do you help men to find jobs? Of course we do. Finding a job is one of the first things men have to do after getting their minds right. But it's the family life that helps them to, you know, create that desire to go home and to be with their children, be with their wives, be with their babies' moms. And we have many men who are not married and they have children and refer to their women as a baby's mom. Our job is to help them to understand God's message of married life and to be fruitful and multiply within that married life. This is another message. You know, we have 10 kids from 8 different marriages and men with 27 children. We have children who are born in prison because their mothers were inmates in prison. These are incredible stories that we couldn't even imagine, you know, unless we went through it or through the eyes of the individual, were able to experience just a glimpse of what it was like to grow up in prison for the first 2 weeks and then for the first 14 years actually, you know, live without your mom because she's incarcerated. And these are, you know, tough stories. But as I said earlier, these tough messages must be discussed because the youth is out there and they deserve the truth. And the truth comes in different ways. It comes in, you know, very beautiful ways, beautiful stories of success, and unfortunately some more difficult stories of tragedy. And our job is to make the change, to help people to make the change. And for the youth out there who are out there just getting started, you have the opportunity to create, you know, the family that you would like to have. Whether or not your parents were divorced or are divorced, it really doesn't matter. You can get through all of that because it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And with God's help, he's going to give you the energy, the motivation, the education, the word of God, and the alignment to move yourself forward in a positive way, regardless if your parents were divorced or not. And as a guy who grew up with divorced parents, I know how it works. You know, my parents were divorced in 1963. I was only 3 years old. Got to see my dad every other weekend for 6 years. And then three times in 18 years. That's what divorce does. It really builds a disunity. And it pulls people apart, and it pulls children apart from one side of an entire family. So one of the goals in the WINGS program is to use that information to our benefit, to touch the hearts and minds of our men and help them to build a strong family life. We have guys in our class right now who are 19, 21, young guys, and who have served 4 or 5 years already. And our job is to get them home to redesign their life in God's way. But when we talk about married life, it is one of the great goals. In fact, the priorities in the WINGS program are God first, then you, then family, then work, then community service, and then hobbies and sports. Family comes before work because we don't want to lose the family because we're hard workers. So you have to balance your time between work and family, one of the great messages. You don't want to be a workaholic, and what usually happens is to workaholics, they usually end up with a relationship with someone at work, okay? And that actually can happen. So our job is to balance it out and to keep coming home to your family, your children, coming home to the dinner table, and creating a very stable environment on a daily basis. That's one of the great goals for us in the Wings program. One thing we talked about this week, only a couple days ago in our class at CFCF, when posed with the question is, what must you do when you get home that you definitely will do? What is it that you will do because you must do it when you get home? And one of the guys said, I must, absolutely must improve the quality of life for my children. And that was a really big point for a lot of the men in there. It opened the eyes to the men that we have kids at home. And we got to get home, start working, and improve the quality of life of the children. And the way that's done in the Wings program is to spend real time in the day-to-day of life, at the dinner table, on the sports field, saying good morning, saying good night, having a cup of hot chocolate, making some popcorn, watching a movie, playing basketball, football, soccer, spending quality time with the little ones, because there's only a short window before those little ones become teenagers and want to be with their friends more than you and I as parents or grandparents. And that's just fact. So the goal is to get the men to, you know, have that desire once again, because of stagnation, you could lose that. And separation from family after being incarcerated for months or years creates depression and sadness. So our job is to get the men home early through a good program, get them to endure and persevere through probation, and then never to return again to prison because they made great decisions, wise choices while they were outside, and get their records expunged and be completely clear of the system. That is the goal. It's a very huge goal, but we have been doing it for quite some time, almost two decades. And actually, we've covered a lot of territory in that time, eight prisons. And I'll just tell you that we are making an impact because, as I said in one of the previous shows, that the House of Corrections, one of the facilities there, has been closed or is in the process of being closed because of men staying out. And we have had an impact with over 1,600 men in our program. But I want to go back to the will and must attitude. In this session, we highlighted a couple different things. One of them was the attitude, the mindset that you wake up with, that you proceed with on a daily basis. I will do it because I must do it. And this is an important attitude that doesn't impede progress or foster procrastination, but it helps us to swiftly, expeditiously move through the day, the week, the month, and accomplish our short-term and long-term goals. And so the attitude, I will do it because I must do it, actually comes from the field of aviation. And as you know, as an aviator for many years, 40 years exactly in the month of September of this year, aviators, pilots of major airlines have to do many things. And they will do it because they must do it. They must land on the center line of a runway with one wheel on each side of the center line. They must land in the first one-third of the runway, okay, so that they don't go off the end of a runway. They must have landing lights at night when they're flying commercial because it has to illuminate the runway and it's for visibility so other people can see you. These are all things that are required legally. And if they're not done, you're on the illegal side of aviation. And there's a thousand of them out there. So we use those analogies to help the men see that, you know, it's not just you who must change your attitude. The pilot out there, he will do it because he must do it. And it's part of his, you know, his career. It's part of his work as he flies from New York to Los Angeles. He must carry enough fuel to his destination, his alternate airport, and reserve fuel of 45 minutes. He must do it. It's the law. And beyond that, maybe he carries a little bit more in case the weather is bad, if he has holding patterns or deviations around thunderstorms or hurricanes. This is important, my friends. So we use a lot of aviation analogies in the Wings program to help the men to wake up and see the light. But I want to get back to the attitude we're talking about is primary. Everybody has a choice to proceed this morning, okay, with a positive or negative attitude. They make a decision to say good morning, to say I love you, to say please forgive me. They make a choice to show humility or to show anger, to show peace and love or to show boldness, abrasiveness, hostility. Okay, this is your choice. The guys inside, my friends, are stereotyped, but a lot of them have already lived it, and it's there. So our job is to change all that, and the only way we can do it is through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. There is no more powerful gift in the world than the love of God to change the heart of a man. And this is very, very critical to our success in reentry in the Wings program. The love of God is the tool that we use in every class, in every program, on every broadcast to touch the heart and the mind of the people who are in the audience, whether they be in a classroom, in a maximum security jail, or in a recovery home, or in a classroom at a university, or anywhere that the Wings program is conducted. Our job is to deliver the love. And like Mother Teresa said, the greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. So it is our goal to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people to fill that void. And, you know, when we talk about marriage again, for the kids who have been the product of divorces, they know the embarrassment of it all. They know the void that has been created within the heart by the separation of parents. So, as I said earlier, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And our job is to create good, healthy, strong, long-lasting relationships that will endure for years. And the way we do it is to introduce people to our Lord Jesus, to our Blessed Mother Mary, to the Holy Family. And, you know, we can't use any more wonderful role model than the Holy Family, St. Joseph, the foster father, Jesus, our Blessed Mother Mary, who we love so much, who did everything they had to do to help Jesus to succeed in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. They were there. The Lord had a father and a mother when he was here on earth, and that was powerful. Our job is to help other people to do the same. And to not give up on that dream of finding the right person. So in the Wings program, if you are single, what we encourage you to do is to wait and focus on your education, your work, your time with your biological family and friends, your community service, your hobbies and sports. But wait until the Lord brings you Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And if you pray long enough, God can do it. And, you know, where the faith is strong and the intentions are good, God can do anything. And it's up to him, you know, and how he proceeds or who he wants to bring to us. But if you're tied up with one, two, or three different people in the dating scene and going out all the time, rocking and rolling, if you're out there doing the nightclubs all the time and just, you know, being intimate with all kinds of people, you're never going to see Mrs. Wright when she comes because you won't be ready for her and she'll pass you by. And this is important. So we need to have discipline. We need to wait. It takes years to build a family, but the first step is to be loyal to our Lord Jesus. and to make the transition to his way of doing things, and to pray, and pray from the heart. This is very, very important. Today I sat with my grandson Dominic, who attends St. Ignatius Elementary School, and he, you know, he's fluent in Spanish and English, and he can do the Our Father and the Hail Mary prayer in Spanish and English. He's only 5.5 years old, and that's because he's had some great mentorship within the family, but also in the school. You know, this is what they're doing down there at St. Ignatius, a positive influence. And I've been part of that, you know, influence as well. Was a member there for 20 years. And I just tell you that, you know, we have many blessings and many burdens in life, my friends. It's up to you how you handle the burden when it comes. And it will come. Les Brown, the motivational speaker, said that the messenger of bad news is either coming to your home, at your home, or has just left your home. But in life, there will be some bad news from time to time. And I want to reflect back now on my friend Jeff Collins, a great friend who lost his mom over the weekend. He called me up devastated, and you know, and his mother is gone. And we just, again, pray for Jeff and for the peace of God to allow him to move forward in life with that vacancy, with that void, and to carry on this, the celebration of her memories, the good times that he had with her. Because in life, my friends, sometimes we get some bad news. And recently, another friend of mine lost his mom, my friend George, in the diaconate program over in the Diocese of Trenton. And we want to pray for his mom, too, and for his family, for the peace of God. So we know that, you know, we don't have our parents forever. And it is a blessing. Every year that we have them is a blessing. It can be a burden, but it is a blessing first. And we know this. And, you know, we have to get through the burden and handle things as well as we can, with patience, kindness, love, compassion, understanding, and with stability in our own lives. Because the stronger you are, the stronger I am, the more you and I can do for other people in our families. That includes your children, your grandchildren, your parents, and the more we can do for our communities. And the Lord says, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. And whatever you did not do for the least of your brothers, you, Joe Montone, did not do it for me. And that's another side that I don't want to ever hear from our Lord. So I will continue to lift people up and to do whatever I can. But again, it goes back to how strong are you and I today, physically, mentally? How much further can we go to carry the message? And this is the message of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. My friends, we're just coming up to another minute or two in our show, and I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I want to just thank Dale and Jane again for the opportunity to be back here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. And we are inspired by the Holy Spirit with each and every word of God that comes through us. And I just want to leave you with this again, you know, from the book of James, the power of the tongue. Be careful, my friends, in how you use your words and phrases, your terminology and phraseology. Be careful. Think about this. With each and every word, am I about to touch the heart in a positive way or in a negative way? Am I about to wound this heart, or to bring some love and peace into this heart? So as you go forward until our next program, I want you to think about that and let me know, you know, how you did in the next show. Feel free to give us a call, send us a letter. Again, my name is Joe Montone, your host. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM and WCOJ 1420 AM. I want to thank, again, Frank for producing the show today, and for Dale and Jane for their continuous support, and all of our donors out there who privately really step up to the plate financially and who have empowered us to be with you each and every month here on the radio, and also each and every week inside the prison. So we wish you a great day, and God bless you and your family, and may you incorporate the word of God, the love of God, and the peace of God into your repertoire each and every day. We ask this today through Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day.